Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Amen. Good morning. Yeah, the devil's just trying to, mess with me right now. So I can use the mic. I'll be good. Amen. Let us pray. Lord in heaven, we give thanks, Father. We give thanks this morning for your never changing word, which brings us peace, which brings us comfort. We thank you for your resurrection power, which brought Lazarus back from the dead, which raised our Savior on the third day, and which we all can experience because of the work of the cross. That resurrection power that brings eternal life through the forgiveness of sins, may you open the hearts and minds of everyone here today, Lord, as we receive your powerful word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. First of all, I want to say thank you to everyone who came out yesterday and helped us with the cleaning of the church, or our spring cleaning and our yearly cleaning. And it was great. We got a lot done. Thank you for everyone who came out. And I hope the chairs smell nice. We had them all cleaned this week, and the carpets, and the church looks beautiful. And God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. My sermon title today is Believe and See the Glory of God. Believe and See the Glory of God. There it is. All right. So, we're still in this amazing Gospel of John. And in this chapter, we're studying the seventh miracle of this book, and that's the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Last week, we talked about how Jesus came to Martha and told her that he was the resurrection and the life. And that by believing in him, that she would be saved. Now, this resurrection, it's not only something that has happened in the past or something that's going to happen in the future. This resurrection is in all believers right now, right here and now. And we don't have to wait. We can live that resurrection life right now. Amen? This is something that as a church, Jesus calls us to bring the good news, the resurrection news, to all nations. Amen? And the next slide. We're called to be witnesses, right? We're called to make disciples. We're called to baptize, feed the hungry, visit the sick. Amen? I thought that was pretty cool, all the things that we're called to do. Amen? And that's the Great Commission. Amen? And in our Hebrews study, Bible study last week, I talked about how we're all called to be teachers of the law. We're all called to be teachers of the law, and that's what the Great Commission is about. So here Jesus is confident of what he's going to do, but he's also facing the reality of death itself. Amen? And, Jesus loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were his good friends, and whenever he visited in Jerusalem, he would stay with them, And I found out in my study that at that time, in Jesus' time in Jerusalem, whenever they had festivals going on, if you visited, it was law that people, if you didn't have a place to stay, that people had to let you stay in their home. So, and that's, and that was kind of the thing that Jesus did whenever he visited Jerusalem, he would stay with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And they were his good friends. So he felt their pain. He felt their sorrow. And, then Mary comes to Jesus in verse 32, and she falls at his feet and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Then she begins weeping. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her, they were also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit, and he was troubled. So Jesus starts to get angry. Now, when Jesus gets angry, it's not anger like us when we get angry, right? So Jesus is getting righteous anger, right? Righteous anger. So is he prepared? Because he's preparing to do battle with death, and he knows he's preparing to do battle with death. So he's angry that he even has to do this. Amen. So he knows what he has to do, and as he does this, we come to the shortest verse in the Bible, amen, where it says, Jesus wept. Okay, Jesus wept. Sorry, okay. I always got to check my slides. So, Let's think about the compassion of Jesus in this moment, okay? Jesus is Emmanuel, right? He's God with us. He can do anything. He can fix anything. He is Lord of all the universe. Yet He weeps for one man. He weeps for one man. And this just proves that Jesus is very aware of all the things that all of us are going through. And when we, you know, and when we weep, He weeps with us. Amen? And He's our Father. He comes alongside of us and He says, I know what you're going through. Amen? And just think about how much we love our children or our grandchildren. Well, Jesus loves us 100 times more than that. We can't even fathom how much He loves us. Amen? And so, Jesus doesn't want to see us in pain. Jesus wept. The Jews must have thought it was from sorrow because in the next verse they say, see how He loved them. Or see how He loved him, talking about Lazarus. So, why would He weep if He's getting ready to bring him back to life, right? Why is He weeping if He's getting ready to bring Lazarus back to life? You know, maybe Jesus wasn't weeping because Lazarus had died. Some say that Jesus wept because He had to bring Lazarus back from the joys of heaven. And that's why He was weeping. And Jesus, of course, knew what it was like to come from heaven to come to earth, right? And He didn't want Him to have to do that. So He didn't want Him to have to come back into this sinful world and deal with this pain, right? And so Jesus had made the same journey and He understood. So when we mourn for our saved loved ones who have passed, it brings peace to our hearts, to our breaking hearts, to remember that they're with Christ, right? And we will see them again in glory because Christians never say goodbye for good. Amen? Amen. Blessed assurance, right? They will never be... So our loved ones will never be sick again. They'll never hurt again. They will never have another surgery again. There will be no more cancer, no more death, no more disease, and no more devil in their lives. Amen? And they will experience the glory of God, the streets of gold, the angels around the throne of God, and the family of God gathered together from the centuries, right? Wow, right? I mean, they're there with the family of God gathered, all their loved ones who have passed. What a day that'll be, right? A big party, yeah. Amen. And no mask. No mask, by the way. I mean, no mask. Amen? So, what a day that'll be for our loved ones. You know, my earthly father passed from this world in February of last year. At the age of 76. My dad was a tough guy, right? And, there he is. He was an airborne ranger. He was a master parachutist. He had over 100 jumps out of airplanes. And it took a toll on his body. He had many knee and back problems and over the years and a lot of health issues, but the real problems didn't start until he got into his 70s. And, he beat cancer three times. He battled cancer three times, I should say. His first battle was with prostate cancer, and he won that battle. Then he had throat cancer, and he beat that too. But then the worst of all, three of them, the lung cancer came. And he would never fully recover from the lung cancer, from this battle. You know, I would visit him, and we would talk about movies and sports and my job and my brother and the grandkids, politics. He was a little confused about politics, but we would always talk about politics. But most importantly, we talked about our faith. Amen? And he was so proud of me and who I had become. And he would let everybody know, you know. But towards the end, he was so weak, he could barely make it to the kitchen and back, you know. And he was a tough guy. He wanted to get his own stuff, so he would struggle to walk and do what he had to do. So we just kept praying that the Lord would heal him like before, you know, and always praying for him. The last time I saw him, I prayed with him, and I asked the Lord to take away his pain, and I asked the Lord to heal him and deliver him from his sickness. And as much as it hurts, and as hard as it was to accept, the Lord answered my prayers. And my dad is no longer suffering. He's no longer in pain. And he's finally at rest and in peace. Amen? And, you know, that's another reason why we as Christians, we say, even in death, or I say a lot, even in death, we are the victors. Amen? My dad is no longer suffering. He's in glory. And why would I want to bring him back from that into this broken world of sin and pain, right? And so maybe this is why Jesus wept. Maybe he didn't want to bring Lazarus back to experience this pain and in this world. So to ask our loved ones to come back like Lazarus to this painful life should cause us to weep too. Amen? And so some of the Jews also said in verse 37, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Right? So they're right. He could have. There are cases in the Gospels where Jesus does that very thing. And he did many, many miracles. And but Jesus is about to do an even greater miracle and establish himself as the conqueror of death for all who believe. Amen? And that's much more important than any of our earthly lives. Amen? So because Jesus conquered death at his resurrection, one day death will be no more. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23 says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. And then in Revelations 20, it says, the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So, I think we better make sure that our names are written in the book of life. Amen? No fluff today, right? Amen? Right? Are you guys saved? Amen. If not, or if you're not sure, we're going to give you an opportunity at the end of the sermon to say a prayer with me. Amen? And we'll guarantee your names in the book of life. Amen. All right? So, now, because Jesus is the conqueror of death, he expects us to live in a certain way. Amen? As Christians, we should be living in a certain way. So, let's think about the life that we need to live because Jesus Christ is the conqueror of death. Amen? Sometime this week, let's dream about heaven. Read Revelations 21 and 22, and then, you know, ask yourself some questions. And one of them would be, what do you most hope to see and experience in heaven? What are some of the things you most hope to see and experience in heaven? Anybody? Your family? Amen.
Jesus,
of course, right? Can you guys imagine what it would be like to see the face of God? Right? we can't even imagine that, right? Is there a loved one that you would expect to see in heaven? Many loved ones that you would expect to see in heaven? I think that's what most people think about, right? Who they're going to see. So, what grieves you most on this earth? What grieves you most on this earth? Is there a loved one that you miss so much that it hurts? You know, sometimes that pain just never goes away, right? And is there temptations that torment you day and night? You know, for a lot of us that are in recovery, you know, we deal with that, you know, on a daily basis, you know. And we have to be careful that we don't fall, amen? Just think about how hard this life can be and how glorious heaven will be like, right? That's what we're called to do, you know. That's what we should do. And why is the desire to go to heaven so important? Because it impacts the way we live our lives, right? It impacts the way we live our lives. And the more we want to go to heaven, the more we'll seek to do the will of God, right? And the more we seek to do the will, yeah. So the more joy we will have in our lives. Matthew 5:6, right? What's Matthew 5:6 say? Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Amen. We recite that verse quite a bit in Celebrate Recovery, and it's so true, right? It's so true. And you know, for some people, you know, they think, you know, I can never be happy not, you know, partying, or I can never be happy not doing this, that, or whatever. Whatever that sin nature may be that you're experiencing or that you're living. And until we find out, right? Until we find out how much joy there is, you know. There's a difference between happiness and joy, right? Right? Joy, true joy only comes from the Word of God, amen? And from living for Christ, amen? So, verses 38 and 39. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But the Lord said, Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. So in Jesus' day, it was common to bury people in caves. Amen? And you put a large stone at the entrance, and that stone was to keep people out and to keep animals out, so nobody would mess with the body or the burial, right? It wasn't to keep people in, right? It was to keep people out, right? So, then Martha tells Jesus, you know, there's going to be a bad odor, for Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. You know, my wife was telling me that she was reading somewhere where in those times the Jewish people believed that the spirit didn't leave the body until the fourth day. So it was another reason. And just another reason that Jesus wanted to be sure that everyone was convinced that Lazarus was dead and gone. Amen? And that even his spirit was gone. Right, which is going to make him conquering death even greater. Amen. So, you know, he's decomposing. The smell is very bad, and Lazarus is as dead as can be. Okay, and this is to prove even more that Jesus can conquer death. So, not only for Lazarus, but for all who believe and confess that he is Lord until the day of Christ Jesus' triumphant return. Right. So. In verses 48 and 42, it says, Then Jesus said, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. So Jesus prays to his Father. Next slide. There he is. I like that old picture. So Jesus prays to his Father. And notice that Jesus doesn't just ask his Father to help him. He doesn't just say, help me do this miracle. He thanks him for already doing the miracle, right? That's how he prays. So Jesus knows what his Father will do, and he has complete confidence that it will be done. Amen? So, you know, our prayers should be the same. Our prayers to the Father should be spoken in confidence as well. You know, we shouldn't say things like, Lord, could you please heal my friend and maybe provide for him as well, right? No, we should pray, Father, I give thanks for the miraculous healing that you're about to do. Father, I give thanks for the provision that you're going to do in our lives. Amen? And a famous Bible scholar named John Gill put it this way. He said, "For whatever is asked in faith, agreeable to the will of God," amen, "which is contained in His covenant, word and promises, makes for His glory and the good of His people, shall be given. Be it what it will, though to carnal sense and reason it may seem impractical and impossible." In other words, if God agrees with your prayer of faith, if God agrees with it, if it agrees with the Word of God, amen? And if it agrees with God's teaching, it will happen. When we have faith, no matter how in this world it seems impossible, it will happen if it goes with the Word of God. Amen? And then in verses 43 and 44, it says, When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice. He said, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." So Jesus cries, "Lazarus, come out." They said he had to call him by name, like Pastor Perry was talking about. So all the dead wouldn't have gotten and walked up out of their graves. Amen? So, as we know, Jesus could have done that easily, right? And if he wished. And so, the response of Lazarus is the fulfillment of prophecy. Amen? The response of Lazarus is the fulfillment of prophecy. And that was in John... prophecy I'm talking about was in John 5:28 and 29, where it says, "Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned." Now, I know this prophecy is of the final resurrection, but Lazarus' miracle is a glimpse of the final resurrection. Amen? And just as Lazarus heard the Lord's voice and came forth, so will the just at the end of the age. Amen? And so how do we attain this resurrection of the just, right? How do we all attain this resurrection of the just? Well, in last week's sermon, Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Some might say you need to do more than just believe in Jesus, right? And this will be true. As it says in Hebrews 5, we need to go from the milk to the meat, right? We need to go from the milk to the meat and put our faith into action. Faith is dead without action, amen? And biblically, faith has a lot to do with trust, okay? Faith has a lot to do with trust. Notice Abraham's faith at the promise of a child, right? He was going to be a father of many nations, amen? And Abraham trusted God. And when we trust someone, we act on that trust. When we trust someone, we act on that trust. When my wife says that she's going to go to Home Depot, I can trust she's going to spend a lot of money, right? I got to get ready for the next big payment coming up, right? So, but seriously though, when God speaks and we believe, we follow through on what He says as well. Amen? And just as Noah, Moses, and Abraham believed and trusted God in Hebrews 11, when I believe, when I trust God, I'll have no problem obeying His Word. And I will turn from my sins, and I'll confess the name of Jesus. And I will believe in the work of the cross, because that's what God says to do, and I trust Him. Amen? Oh, there they are. Okay. Now remember, we said not everyone will experience the resurrection of the just, right? Not everyone. So, Revelation 21:8. No fluff today, okay? Just to make sure everyone knows that. Revelation 21:8 says, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." Do those sins sound familiar? Not just because you know what those words mean, but because you might see them in your life. Do you need to cleanse your life of sin? If you need to come to Jesus, won't you come right now? Amen? So we're going to do an altar call, okay? We're going to do it from our seats, of course, all right? We'll do this COVID style, okay? So, I just say, raise your hands, okay? And say the prayer with me. I think it's up there. It's up there, but I'm going to go ahead and say it if you guys want to say it with me, okay? Or say it after, repeat after me, okay? Here we go. Heavenly Father, I come to you in prayer. I ask for the forgiveness of my sins. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that Jesus is your Son and that He died on the cross at Calvary that I might be forgiven and have eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Father, I believe that Jesus rose from the dead, and I ask you right now to come into my life and be my personal Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins and will worship you all the days of my life because your word is truth. I confess with my mouth that I am born again and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, congratulations. Hallelujah. You're all in the book of life now. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we give thanks for this day, Lord. We give thanks for your almighty word. We give thanks for the work of the cross. Your resurrection, our resurrection, Lazarus' resurrection. Father, may you go before us in all we do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.